the Second Coming. Let us continue our study this week with what we have thought of last week in some greater detail. Ye shall have a song, God promises, as in a night when a solemn assembly is kept, with gladness of heart, is when one goeth into the mountain of the Lord, the mighty one of Israel. The Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, shall show the lightning down of his arm, the indignation of his anger, with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstorm. Isaiah gives another view of the Battle of Armageddon, of the seven last plagues. But here the emphasis is on God's people singing a song as if a solemn assembly, as if a journey up to Jerusalem for one of the set feasts was in the offing. In other words, the Lord is trying to tell his people that although there is a time of trouble, although there are problems and difficulties that will terrorize, our attitude should be the attitude of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. We should sing. We should rejoice. This is part of the program. This is another one of the signs that must be carried through. God is going to speak. He is going to cause his glorious voice to be heard. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. He is going to show his arm as lightning, quick, so that no eye can follow it, to cut down the wicked as they are about to slay his people. When Abraham was about to slaughter his son, and there was nothing else that Abraham could do, he had steeled his will, he had tightened his muscles, the slaughter weapon was descending. At that juncture, the lightning arm of the heavenly visitant stopped the death of Isaac. I like to think of that picture connected with the death decree in the saints. It seems that they are about to be destroyed. The slaughter weapons are raised against them. Even the time of the decree's effectiveness is seeming to be anticipated. There is total darkness. It is midnight. It is then that God's voice is heard. It is then that his arm defends. It is then that in indignation he vindicates his own, and by a flame of fire his divine presence devours the wicked and scatters them from his people. Part number one. At this time, there is to be a partial resurrection. Jesus Christ looked forward to the time when all that are in the graves would hear the voice of the resurrector. Daniel declared that some would come to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And John, in Revelation 1, verse 7, identifies those who will come up to shame and everlasting contempt as they also which pierced him. So just imagine Jesus Christ coming in the clouds of heaven, riding on a white horse with the armies of heaven following him upon white horses. All the angels, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, coming with paean upon paean of bugle sound, growing louder and louder and brighter as the procession approaches this planet. And then the voice of Jesus Christ, the one who gives life, will call to life those who have pierced him. He predicted to Caiaphas that the day would come when he, Caiaphas, should see Christ, the one he was condemning, coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Then Caiaphas and the rest of the Sanhedrin thought this was a ridiculous claim. Caiaphas declared it blasphemy. But he will see Christ. Not now a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, but now as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There will be Annas, there will be Pilate, there will be Herod. There will be the soldiers who pierced his side and his hands and his feet. There will be the persecutors of Christ in the person of his saints in every age. They will see in terror the one that they sought to slaughter coming as king. What a picture, what a contrast. Part number two. At Christ's second coming, there will be two groups. The Bible uses various figures of speech to indicate these groups. There will be sheep, and there will be goats. Matthew 25. Clearly separated. There will be wheat, and there will be tares. Matthew 13. There will be good fish, there will be bad fish. Good fish gathered, separated, protected. Bad fish cast away and destroyed. At that time, there will be no graze. There will be no half-baked cakes, as Hosea mentioned. There will be only people on God's side and people on Satan's side. At that time, the promise is made to us, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we will not be afraid. Because at that time, Jesus Christ will come to gather together his elect. The angels will be sent to separate the wicked from among the just. The wicked will be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians, both chapter 1 and 2. Jesus in Matthew 24 and in other places in the Gospels tells us that there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. And the disciples ask, as Luke records it, "Where, Lord? Where will the one be taken?" And Jesus says, "Where the bodies are, there will the eagles, the buzzards, be gathered together. There will be two working together at one mill. One will be taken in death, destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Where the buzzards are, come, eat the flesh of kings, captains, mighty men," Revelation 19, "and the other will be left. There will be two in a field. One will be taken in death, and the other left. As it was in the days of Noah, the whole world was taken, Noah and his family were left. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, some will be taken, including Lot's wife, and some will be left. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes. Some will be left." And Paul says, "We which are alive and are left, we which are alive and remain, will be caught up together with the resurrected saints to meet the Lord in the air." This second coming of Christ, as part three emphasizes, is a glorious coming, as lightning shines, brilliant, as the sun of righteousness arising with healing in his wings, as a glorious procession, Father, Son, Spirit, angels, resurrected saints, a glory unsurpassed. And as Christ is coming, his voice declares the day and the hour. Now this voice evidently declares it as the procession begins to leave the abode of God. The approach of this procession is described as growing larger and larger and more visible. There is a sign, size of a man's hand. This cloud surrounds the angel. This cloud is angels surrounding Christ. Far away, it seems as if he's shrouded in darkness. But as the procession comes nearer the earth, it becomes brighter and more glorious until it is a great white cloud, its base like a consuming fire. Above it is the rainbow of the covenant. Jesus rides forth a mighty conqueror. With anthems of celestial melody, the angels, a vast unnumbered throng, attend his way. Part number 4. Connected with the second coming, we are to consider 4 great events. The first one is the general resurrection of the righteous. This is produced by the voice of Jesus Christ. He himself claimed that the hour is coming when all that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of God. The wicked who are dead will not hear that voice until after the 1,000 years. But at the second coming of Christ, the wicked who pierced a special group, and the living and the righteous who are dead will hear that voice. So the general resurrection of the righteous takes place. Now I think this resurrecting of the righteous takes place after the wicked are destroyed. They are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Then, with the dead who are resurrected, the righteous dead, the righteous living are glorified. They are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump and the voice of God. So now there are alive upon the earth the righteous dead who have been resurrected, some wicked dead who pierced him, who have been resurrected, and the righteous living who have been glorified. And the wicked dead have been destroyed. And those who pierced him see Jesus Christ in all his splendid glory, with the trophies, the resurrected and the translated, ready at his hand. The sheaves, the harvest of the earth, has been gathered. Then the specially resurrected ones who pierced him will be destroyed. And we which are alive and remain, together with the dead who have been resurrected and remain, will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Part number 5. Toward the pearly gates. The vast procession that has come down from heaven to welcome the saints, the resurrected and the translated, sweeps back up through illimitable space to where God dwells in the heaven of heavens. It is there that the Son of God will crown as kings and priests the saints of all ages. It will be there that he will welcome them to the abode of the Father forever. It is there that he will present to them the holy city, the New Jerusalem. It will be there that he will open to them the pearly gate. You will remember that Jesus, when on earth, said that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, selling all that he might find the pearl of great price. The pearl of great price is Jesus, the entryway into the city of God. There are 12 gates, marked appropriately with the characteristics of the 12 tribes, a microcosm of the natural man. Those 12 gates sing to us of the possibility of every man, of any man, transformed by grace, entering the presence of God. Part number 6, how to make sure of participation. Those who participate are overcomers. To them that overcome, I will grant to sit with me upon my throne, Jesus declared. How do we overcome? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Jesus gives grace. He gives the empowering. We submit. Read carefully James 4 verse 6. He gives the grace. We then are to, in the following verses, submit, resist, draw nigh, cleanse our hearts, purify our souls, accept affliction, humble ourselves, speak no evil, and testify to the love of God. It is by this divine method that God's people are prepared for the kingdom of heaven. Prophecy declares that the saints of all ages will be gathered into the presence of God. They will stand before the Father. They will stand unscathed and immortalized. And this gives me courage to believe that the divine method of getting ready, the gospel of salvation, is sure and effective.